Yo, what's good? Laugh Not Die Later. On the road to the 100th. Maybe this is the 100th. I'm like on episode, I think, 92. All we're right. Gonna release 93, and then we're gonna, and then the 100th. Probably I do have enough episodes to get to the 100th. So I, at this point, I could just choose what the 100th episode is gonna be. But today, if you like punk, if you like hardcore, you probably know this man, or he's probably in a band or played in a band. The man of, you play every instrument, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Introduce yourself. Tell us who you are.
My name's Jeff, I'm voting that this is the 100th episode.
I'm
number 100 because I keep it 100 at all times. Let's see, I'm supposed to introduce myself, huh? I'm Jeff.
What's good? Tell me all of it because of that.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Odd Man Out, Gag, Change, Angel Dust at some point. I know you fronted a band. Can I remember?
Sixes? Yeah, that was an old one that I fronted.
How many other bands am I missing?
So I have a list, actually. It's in my notes app of every band I've ever played in that I've done at least one live performance with. At least one show is the credential. So no, like, oh, we did like this project, and but we never did anything with it.
Yeah.
If you included that, it'd be a lot more. But I'm at 64 bands.
64
that
bands.
That I've played at least one show with.
Damn.
What
other big bands am I missing?
I never really did too many. I was very prolific with projects, but never really did many that were like popular. I'm from the West Coast, Pacific Northwest, so we're kind of like remote, kind of stuck up there. So a lot of people don't come to us, and we don't go to a lot of people because the infrastructure to support that just isn't there. Money just isn't there. People don't really tour particularly hard from there. There's a few bands. Like when I was growing up that did well from the Pacific Northwest. But to be honest, man, not really. I mean, the bands now are probably the most popular ones I've ever been in. Like,
That is true.
I've been out and Change and stuff. That's like, and then Angel Dust was not my band. That was just a band that I joined. And that was really fun too. But it's like, it all revolves around just friendship, man.
Really?
It's not really about like promoting, like at least in the Pacific Northwest, the attitude is less about trying to like promote and market yourself. Because we're terrible at that. It's more about just like being friends, playing music together, and loving it.
Yeah.
Being a lifer, bro.
Yeah.
Being a lifer.
I mean, would you say Odd Man Out is a popular band?
I wouldn't say we're a popular band. No, maybe in Europe. In Europe and Asia, but in the United States, man, people don't give a shit about us. I guess Colombia too.
So you guys are really big in Europe, Colombia, and Asia, but not in the
I wouldn't
US.
Even see really, say really big. I would just say we're more popular than we are in America.
Why?
Tons of reasons. One, straight edge hardcore, not very popular. You immediately have a ceiling when you call yourself a straight edge band.
That's true.
Unless you have something else special about you, something like Robert Gate or something, they've definitely exceeded that ceiling that a normal like straight edge band.
So straight edge band, like a Latino band.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Exactly. So it's like they have another.
We're just a bunch of fucking weirdos.
Yeah,
there's nothing that special about us, man. We're just fucking freaks. But we don't. The other reason is we aren't like a real band. We recorded the demo in 2008. Me and my friend Bob. Just as like for a fun, like really hard straight edge band, that was it. We never did anything with it until 2012, got a lineup, started playing shows just to promote some friends coming in from overseas to make the show cooler. We're like, we'll play a show. And then Griffin's got a real job, so we can't tour that frequently. So when we do tour, we make it count. We like do international touring, not too much domestic. So because we don't consistently put things out, because we don't tour domestically, because we're a straight edge band, lots of reasons to not be very prolific.
You guys are not like, I mean, I forget that you guys are a straight edge band.
Yeah.
Just because like you guys are not like,
We're just like a hard and hardcore
band. Yeah, you're like a hard, yeah, like very like fast. A hard
youth crew band.
Oh, you could borderline play like power violin shows.
Yeah, yeah, we got some short, fast songs for sure.
Yeah.
We got some mean songs.
Well, I mean,
we covered Crossed Out at one point.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's, I like when bands do when like they like cover something from another dimension of the music.
Straight up, yeah.
Yeah, but we could cut this out, but before we get into your life and the actual interview, before I forget to ask, what is the product about?
The product?
The song.
The product is about my friends I met in Mexico. So I met a bunch. We did a festival a really long time ago in Olympia called New Direction Fest, where we saved money to fly out this band called Brigada Roja. And they were a hardcore band from, were they from Monterrey at the time? Monterrey, yeah. Kind of got to talking to them. They talked about the political landscape of like Monterrey and how fucked up it was. Years pass. A lot of our friends from Monterrey end up having to move to like Mexico City because it got so dangerous due to cartel violence and things like that. This was when I was much younger too. So it was my first introduction to a lot of how like the U.S. drug market wrecks other industries in other countries. And like I'd always been peripherally aware because I was really into like economy, philosophy, political economy specifically, mostly armed revolution. So like I was really big into like the Black Panthers when I was a kid, when I was in high school, because it was like the greatest example, in my opinion, of like an armed revolution of the people that's ever existed in the world. And that happened so close to home too, like in the Bay and everything. And like, so like, I was always really politically minded. Met these guys, they turned me on to all these things. Later down the road, my buddy Yakal has worked with a record label called Synthes Pepe in Mexico City. Put out a bunch of sick bands from there. Inservibles, Ratos de Valdecanos, Tercer Mundo, a bunch of really sick like bands from Mexico City. So they had this my buddy David Rata had a project called Tercer Mundo, which was like a Mexican hardcore band all about cartel violence, drug violence, and how the U.S. drug market affects Mexico, specifically like the cities they live in and their livelihood and the danger they face every day, just like dealing with the threats of cartel violence just because a bunch of like rich white people want to do cocaine in the United States. And I would definitely recommend checking out the Tercer Mundo 7-inch for anyone that has not, and reading the lyric insert, because it much more eloquently explains everything I'm briefly hitting on right now. So the product is the culmination of my experience with my friends in Mexico, my friends in Colombia, all my friends who live in communities that get marginalized by U.S. economy and like U.S. Drug markets, essentially. And how it's disguised as like a problem with their country, a problem with their people, a problem with like their economy and market, when it's truly driven by U.S. import. It's not a problem with their country. It's a problem with the U.S. marginalizing a community, being like a fucking tyrant. It's hegemony. So like that's what the product is about, specifically cocaine and how it marginalize the communities of my friends and makes their lives dangerous.
Did you go to college ever?
Did I go to college? Yeah, I got so when I graduated from college, it was like a fucking miracle because I chose not to go to school, right? I dropped out to tour to play music and hang out with my friends. So then I remember my adopted dad, we kind of had a pretty strained relationship at the time.
So you're adopted?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No, because you're the
person. We can circle back.
Yeah. Let's circle back. Okay. So let's circle back all the way to the beginning. Talk about your childhood.
My childhood.
Yeah.
So
you're adopted because you're the first person that calls her dad adopted dad. All right. Yeah. Did you ever meet?
I never met my biological dad.
Okay.
No. The most I know about my biological dad is that he wasn't the greatest person. And so my mom was 14.
Like, how do you know like he wasn't a great person? Or like, did he like look at his record or like?
Yeah, probably won't. I won't dip super deep into that publicly. Yeah. Publicly, I don't know who listens to stuff or whatever. There's some legal issues going on in my family for sure. my little brother's dealing with them right now. I'm actually flying home to go to his arraignment.
Okay.
He's got, so like there's some stuff I shouldn't talk about. There's some stuff I just, it's probably better that I say less. But yeah, not a good person. My mom was 14 when she got pregnant with me. And she, it was basically her parents that took care of me until my, until I met my adopted dad, really. He was young and he just kind of was really into my mom and then ended up adopting me.
Okay, so your mom was pregnant 14.
Yes.
And then you moved in with your grandparents?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you until you, like, how old were you until you lived with your grandparents?
Shit, man. Good question. I was so young. I barely remember it. All I know is my doctor was awesome. Like, whoever delivered me basically made a deal with my mom where if she goes to college, if she finishes school, if she finishes high school, finishes college, he'll waive a bunch of the medical fees.
Oh.
So she, because I grew up dirt poor, and my parents didn't come from money. None of my parents own property or anything. They don't even have homes. Like, I don't come from money.
Hey.
So she, you know, she had a really rough upbringing on her own. She had a lot to handle between me and then my brothers later when she started getting older. Met my dad who adopted me. They ended up getting together.
So you think, so this is the dad that stepped up?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Basically. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And you knew your mom your whole life and everything.
Yeah. She, like, my mom was the pillar for me. My mom was the pillar.
Okay. Because I think
my adopted dad and I never, like, our family relationship, we're like best friends. Like, me and my, it's actually the sickest. I think if I ever choose to do, like, have children or something, I would adopt, because my relationship with him is so special. It's like I can treat him kind of like a father figure, but it's not like scary or intimidating. It's like he's my homie. You know what I mean? I can talk to him about anything.
So, so he meets your mom, and your mom, him and your mom are together, or, like, I mean,
they got together.
So does he need to adopt you, or, like,
he
how
did.
Does,
yeah,
he has to. Oh, how does that work? Like, couldn't he just be like your stepdad, or?
Fuck, man. Not the fuck if I know. He adopted me before they were married.
Oh, so they got together after?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Okay. And it didn't last very long.
Okay, so then that's the end of
it. No, hell no.
Oh, okay. Because in my head, I was like, wait, like, you're like, your parents are, he's just your stepdad. So then, like,
they were together very shortly. They got divorced.
He adopted you, and then you lived with him, but you didn't live with your mom.
No, he was a little kid, too. He was like 18 when he adopted me.
What the fuck?
Yeah, it was a mess, dude. I lived in so many different homes. It was really unstable. I was constantly being passed between different people's hands, like, growing up. And for a while, we moved to Canada for a while because he got a job that was, like, paid decent, like, paid okay, some, like, startup tech company or something. And we moved out there, and that barely lasted. He was, okay, me and him are on awesome terms now. But when I was younger, he was not the best dad. He did some bad stuff. He did a lot of drugs. He was abusive towards me and my little brother. It was pretty bad. But now he's the reason I believe in transformative justice, because he's like the greatest person in my life. I love him so much.
And what was he 18 and he adopted you? Like, how did I know?
Man, put yourself in those shoes and just, you can tell, like, there's some manic shit going on. Just, like, he was all over the place. I don't know.
Okay, so, okay, for context, you also didn't grow up with your mom during this time.
Wait, what? I saw my grandparents more than I saw my mom. She was going to school and stuff.
So your mom was going to school and put you up and, like... Sorry. This is crazy. It's like a movie. This is straight up a movie. So, okay. So your mom... Your mom put you up for adoption, or he met you and was like, I'm going to adopt you?
He met me and he's like, I'm gonna adopt.
And your mom was like, yeah, like, take him.
Pretty much.
Did you ever like resent your mom for that?
No, not at all. I completely understood her position, man. She's 14 years old. Had a baby. She knew she wanted me, but it was like, can she take care of me?
Do you feel like you know your mom? Like, do you look back and you're like, do I know you? Or, like, you're more like...
No, for sure. No, she was awesome. She was great in my life. She's the best. I love my mom.
Do you think, like, years later, that affected you, like, just, like, I don't know, like, the idea of family or the idea of, like...
Oh, I knew I was different as hell. Like, I knew I was different growing up, for sure, because I didn't have money. I didn't really know were like, I knew I was different, but like, it didn't bother me. My friends, I think that's why I'm in a music community, because my friends were my family, and that's so big in like alternative music, punk and hardcore, like that concept of like, these are my people, you know what I mean? So like, I really gravitated toward that, skateboarding and music, because of that. Because all my friends growing up, those were my family. Those are the people I spent time with. I lived with my friends as early as, man, I think I was like 15 years old when I started living alone. Yeah, 15 years old.
You're sorry, and you like moved out of your dad, you like left your dad, you ran away from home?
I remember, yeah, it was like the very last time I ever got like beat up. I moved, I was just like, fuck this, I'm out of here. And I was still in high school and I just kind of left. I went to my buddy Carrie's house. I lived with him for a while. He lived with a really abusive dad. That was pretty bad. And so I had to leave there, and I moved in with another guy who I'm not really friends with anymore, but his family was super abusive, so I had to get out of there. It was like constantly just going from like different abusive homes until with like a really abusive father figure for some reason. I think that's why I always try and be so sweet to people as a man, because I only experienced very aggressive, mean males in my life. So I ended up moving into, eventually I found a less shaky spot at the very first punk house I ever lived in Olympia, Washington, with a bunch of dudes that seemed so old
to me. I already know, yeah.
They were like fucking like, some of them were like 23, and I was like, they're so old.
The Tiki House?
But no. That was Wiener Shack. That was House. But yeah, then met Tiki House. So that I only lived at the Tiki House for like 3 months. I didn't really stay there super long, but I was there all the time.
Yeah.
And I just spent a whole summer there, and then yeah, the rest is
sounds like history. Bro. I like how you guys were all straight as shit, because
we were. Yeah.
It makes it so much like
we were.
Because you hear puppy houses and you're like, okay, like that's cool. Like they were sick, and then after a while, it's like, okay, that gets old. Like not in a bad way, just like you
tiki,
hear.
Tiki House was 100% straight.
That's why I know when I heard.
The Holy House was not straight edge at all. It's like two of us were straight edge.
Yeah, when I heard, I was like, it's a kid. Household hard kids at a church. I was like, wait, what? Like what? I brought Rage. Like, I was like,
think about how rowdy that was.
I was like, what the fuck? What? Like it's like kids are somehow fucked up lives going into we're all like, dude, morally on the same that's crazy.
Dude, I'll paint you a picture, man. We were a gang, actually. Tiki House was a gang. It was not a group of friends. It was a gang. It was a house. All these kids from like 15 to like 21, I think, was the oldest person there. And like straight up like 20 deep all the time in the house. And it would just getting into trouble. Everybody knew Tiki House. Anytime we'd get picked up by cops, anytime we'd get quick booked, they'd be like, 4100? We'd be like, yep, 4100 Petersville. They just knew. We got
into what type of trouble the straight edge kids get into?
And we're... What do you mean? Like, we don't... Because we aren't just, like, chilling, doing drugs, like, mellowing out, or, like, partying, drinking, or whatever, we're out being psychopaths, breaking into buildings, robbing places, grand larceny. I'm not... Actually, I just realized I'm not supposed to keep talking. We may or may not have... Statute of limitations is actually a long time past, so I can talk about whatever, actually, with that.
Yeah.
We were just making trouble. Fights. We were always getting in fights, antagonizing. Sam, who passed away, one of all of our best friends, he'd just like wear Daisy Dukes and like a pink hat to like shows and just like look as gay as possible and just try and like antagonize people, and then he'd beat them up because he was like a state wrestler. And like, we would be as fucking aggressive and annoying as possible, basically.
It was 12 kids in total, or was it more?
Probably like 20. The core group was smaller, but it was a very strong connection between like Olympia and Bremerton when we were young.
I freaking out.
So it'd roll super deep when everybody would link up.
So just like 12 kids just like walking by like with X's in their
hand. Sometimes more.
So it was like 20 kids.
It was like a gang movie. It was awesome.
Yeah, they should make a movie someday.
They should, man.
I mean, because you got characters like you, Griffin. And then, I forget his name. The vocals of Gag.
Adam.
I can't imagine like a young Adam. Yeah. And I was just like,
Adam was a sweet, cute little boy.
Really?
Yeah, we were all cute little boys. Well, I mean, we had like a bunch of fucking tattoos and shit because we started getting tattoos when we were really young because, you know, you're little gang kids. But Yeah, yeah. Everybody was a lot. Adulthood didn't treat all of us as kindly as it should have.
He looks like he's like 50 now. Because when someone was like, I was assuming like, oh, this is an older guy with like younger dudes in the band. Yeah. And then when I met him, I was like, he's like, hey, I'm only like 30. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I was like, I thought you're like 40s. Like, at least you're 40.
Nah, he's younger than me, you know.
Yeah, so you're like moving, you're moving around places. Were you straight edge? Like, did you ever try drugs or alcohol?
I sold cocaine when I was a kid, and I was just talking about this the other day. I've never, like, done drugs.
Can you say
that? Huh?
Can you say that on here? Well, I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you later.
Yeah, I can. It's been past a lot longer than 7 years, man. I was, like, a little kid. I was, like, in high school. I was, like, 15 years old. And I just to make sure it was real, I put it on my gums sometimes. You get, like, a body high from that. But I've never done drugs. No.
Never
pretty
like
pretty much always straight edge.
Never like
I remember it was like cool to drink Sparks when I was really young. Like
Sparks?
It was like a precursor to like Four Loko. It was like energy drink, like alcohol, really high alcohol content. And I remember I'd like pretend I didn't like that shit. So I'd just like pretend like I was drinking it, take like little sips and just be like what? Yeah. While I'm chilling at like a party while everyone else is partying. And then I found out about SSD control and I found out about straight edge, and I was already really politically minded, and I was like on the tip of like drugs pacify people, drugs are fucking annoying, drugs are like this thing that like creates political upheaval, keeps people from, you know, if you're focused on just like, oh, once I'm done working I can go to the bar or I can go to this party or whatever, you're not gonna be
politically minded. It just creates a mold.
Yeah, yeah. It makes people easy to control, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
So once I learned about, or once I heard SSD control, I was like, I'm that. I'm straight edge. Them and Champion.
Because
Champion was like a band. I remember they used to cover SSD, and I was like, what? And then they just became my favorite band. Being a kid from the Northwest.
So you leave home, you're straight edge, you're like getting in all sorts of trouble. Do you leave your little brother behind?
Yeah.
Did that ever kind of
I was a lot older than my little brothers, for sure.
Did that ever like kind of like in the back of your head was like, I don't know, like just like as you're doing your shit, like going out, living in houses, were you ever like
He came to shows for a bit, actually. He went to hardcore shows for a little bit.
So you would see him at shows?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
To give you the time period, like his favorite bands were like Terror and like Stretch Armstrong. So it was like early 2000s.
Like first record of Terror.
Yeah, Lowest and Low Era Terror. And like he also liked like The Answer, which was a straight edge band from the Northwest at the time.
There was another The Answer? Because I know there's like the 2019 Answer.
This was like 2000 to 2005.
Okay.
So this is like a pre, The Answer. This is like the OG Answer. From Seattle, Washington.
Yeah.
That was one of his favorite bands too. And I remember they had a shirt that it was such an iconic shirt. Just a color. They had like black ones, red ones. And it just said The Answer on the front, straight edge on the back. And I was like, that's so hard. As a kid, I was like, that's the hardest shit ever. I'd like wear it to high school and shit. And I'd be like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Back before, you know, because like at the time, there wasn't social media. This stuff wasn't on the internet. It was like, it literally felt like a gang more than like now where it's just kind of like, oh, it's just this cute thing people do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it felt so cool. It felt so real. But yeah, my little brother was into that shit. And then he kind of.
So like, you were like, you had left home and he was still living, but then you guys would see each other at shows.
It shows, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Like you check up on your brother, literally your brother at home.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And then he, later on in life, now we're a lot closer. We talk more and stuff and we both like a lot of the same stuff.
Did your adopted father, dad, or adopted father ever try to like find you and like come back, right?
Oh yeah, shit, we totally got off topic. So yeah, he hit me up like after we hadn't talked for years. He mailed me an apology letter. He mailed me this like apology letter that was really heartfelt. So I was like, okay. And I started talking to him. He's like, hey man, I really want to get you a phone. Like I want to get you a phone so I can talk to you. Right around the time of cell phones. So he got me a cell phone.
How did he know where to mail you? Or like, how did he find you?
I have no idea. I don't know. I got a letter to me. You can track somebody. You know, your world's small at that time. You just live in
Washington. Okay.
Yeah. So like he got me the cell phone where you couldn't even save contacts. You could only dial out or receive calls. So like I get this phone and he calls me one day and he's like, hey man, what if I told you you could get paid to go to school?
I was like, what? And he was like, financial aid. Like, you can get, like, a Pell Grant and, like, all these different grants to go to school, and they're going to pay you $3,000 a quarter to go to school. That's like 3 months is a quarter, I think. Mm-hmm. Something like that for school. And so I was like, $3,000 a quarter? Like, that's a lot of fucking money for, like, a kid. Yeah. Yeah, dude, for a kid just to, like... And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll go to school. That's, like, a job. So I was, like, working at, like... I think I was working at Taco Del Mar at the time. So working at Taco Del Mar with some punk friends, and I started going... I went back to college, like, years later, and I just studied whatever I wanted because I was getting paid to go there. So I studied political economy, and I majored in 18th century Western linguistic philosophy.
Was this, like, a very, like, popular option, or, like, he kind of, like...
No, it's, like, just, it's for, like, low-income families, and, like...
How do you do that? How do you get that?
You have to apply. So, like, you... If you come from low-income, if you meet specific requirements, you can...
I look into that. I'm trying to go back to school.
Dude, but. Just look up financial aid in your state. Yeah, yeah. And you can get funded to go to school.
Yeah.
And, like, I ticked all the boxes and then some, to the point where not only did I get funding that paid for my tuition, but there was money left over that I would just get. They would give you in the form of a check, so I'd get that, like, $3,000 every 3 months, and that would be for my living expenses. And at the time, I was like... I'm rich.
You're being educated. You got money. You go to punk shows.
I was like, oh, this is what life is like for normal people. What the fuck? Yeah. It's so easy. Yeah. Like, do whatever the fuck you want.
How many years had passed from when you, like, ran away from home to that moment? Over you, like,
so that was like 15 to 21.
And you found that you started going to college at 21.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, and like, 6 years, I believe. Yeah. Yeah,
and another between 15 and 21. Do you ever, like, you're straight edge, obviously, and, like, through, like, I'm assuming you're depressed at some point, or, like, I'm just, like, you know, like, having a home, like, your friends being at home, but not really, like, I don't know, just, like, I mean, you know, your life through that, like, being, like, moving around and stuff, do you ever, like, feel tempted to break edge or to, like, or, like...
Nah.
Never.
Nah, bro. I never gave a shit. I always thought drugs were so stupid, man. I just never... It just doesn't seem cool to me. Like, I don't know. Like, I know it's literally a matter of perspective. Like, I don't beef it. I don't care. But I just don't think it's cool. So I just don't do it. That's right. It. Like, people always want to ask me questions about, like, strategy and stuff just because I'm old and I still am.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of like, I don't know what to tell you. I don't even think about it. Yeah. I just am the way I am. I don't know. I just don't. I never.
I mean, more than that specific time. It's just like, because you're younger, it's like, it's easier to just, like, now you're, I mean, you're older and just,
I,
like,
guess, yeah, you're, yeah, right. There's so many more pressures when you're younger to, like, fit in for, like, you know, all my friends, because I grew up in the skateboarding world, music world too, like, all my friends. I went from friend group after friend group after friend group that just started, you know, using drugs and doing whatever, and I was just like, I know that's trouble. I was getting into my own kind of trouble, but I know that's trouble that's going to, like, hurt me, so I don't want that.
Would you say you're an emotional person?
I would say so, yeah. I really feel, I feel connected with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because if you would have, we could pretty much say that the sole reason you're doing what you're doing, you're, like, successful in, I guess, in the hardcore world, or, like, in music, is because you're straight edge. Cause that could have gone so south very quick.
Yeah, if you would have been just a lot, like, more selfish.
Yeah. You could have a sip of alcohol. I mean, you're like, drink blow, and by then and then you got no money. You have no place to go. I'd
probably be a crazy homeless person for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I think I knew that about myself too. So that was another thing that kept me away, because I knew that I go pretty hard in everything I do. Everything that I try and everything I want to do, I try and be the best I possibly can at it. So being the best I possibly could be at doing drugs probably wouldn't be that sick.
Yeah.
I feel like I push myself really hard in everything that I do. So
yeah.
I feel like I'd probably go a bit too hard.
Do you push yourself hard, try to be the best of what you do because of, like, low self-esteem? Or what do you see that comes in, that fire, that, like, feeling of, like, I need to do, like, for this for myself because?
Man, that's a great question. That's, like, a question that I ask people all the time. Like, what drives you?
Yeah.
Like, what drives you? Dude, man, fuck.
Because low self-esteem comes, like, everybody has low self-esteem to some extent. Like, what is your, like, your, what's the word? What's something about yourself that you're, like, I feel like low about this, that I try to like live myself by being good at what I do.
I think I'm really critical. I'm really critical of myself, even to the point where when I'm at shows, I just assume people don't want to talk to me. Like, I'll just be like, I assume these people don't want to talk to me. So I just kind of sit and do my own thing. Like, I'll just kind of like sit and like I'll stretch, or I'll just kind of like lay down in the back, or like do whatever, and just kind of let people approach me, because I have this really strange, I just have this really strange feeling in the back of my head all the time where I think people don't like me. Even my friends,
like you feel unwanted.
You're not, yo, man, damn, you're digging deep right now. That's probably comes from like abandonment issues, but dude. Like, seriously, like being a kid and being like, who's my family? Who's my dad? Who's he? Like, honestly, it's probably abandonment shit. So whenever I'm places, like social places, I'm like, people don't want to talk to me. I always try and do my best to be like, say what's up to people, and just be like, hey, like, how are you? You know what I mean? And like, I always, when I do greet people, I want to be as happy as possible and make people, I always want to make people feel welcomed. But yeah, over time, man.
Do you think that comes from like, I'm going to give you the best version of myself so you don't think less of me, so you don't like not like me?
Dude, good question. I don't know. There's just this thing inside me where I have to push as hard as I possibly can. It happens with like my own personal like strength training, pushing myself in combat sports, pushing myself in like board sports, pushing myself in like sitting down and putting in the work to like make myself a better drummer. Like everything that, like every moment I'm like pushing myself to exhaustion. And I don't know what that comes from, but I'm seeing it's, there's some thread somewhere between the things we just talked about
there. Yeah, we're only like 30 minutes in, this is already like, we're already like, you already got deep, but that's crazy. Because I remember the first time, I think I knew about you just because, like, I was like, I like Gag. Yeah. And I got Amanda out. And then I was like, I signed the Robert Gate when the first time Robert Gate came over.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Lolly Focus Pops or Lolly Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay. So with like, and playing Long Beach, and then you guys played Midnight Hour, and you guys played Oxnard. So yeah. I remember seeing you there.
That was the Omicron tour, right?
The what? Carlos got like COVID and he didn't play the first two shows.
Yeah. Filled in for him.
So I remember going to all 3 shows, and I remember seeing it every 3 shows, and just thinking like, oh, this guy's like really confident.
That's
like,
crazy.
Which now that I'm like, because I was like, oh, this guy's like really like, he's just like, you know what I mean? Like, he plays every instrument. Like, he does, like, he's in all these cool bands. Like, he's just cool. Because I remember, like, and I remember even, like the, when you, like, when, like, not that it's a bad thing, but, like, when you, like, sang Brown and Out, like, I would sing the lyrics, but you would just be like, not give me the mic, give me the mic. But I remember,
that was because of COVID.
I still remember, like, and even, like, at the show at the, the last one, the Tsunami show, everybody was like looking, like everyone had their spot to see a Tsunami in Oxnard. Uh-huh. And you were just like in the back. I remember seeing like, just you like sitting down like in the back. Like, you remember like in at the Oxnard show, you're like Oxnard. Way in the back sitting down, just like observing from like a distance.
That was Simi Valley?
Simi Valley.
Behind the trees kind of?
Yeah. And
yeah,
I was like,
nice back there.
And I was like, yeah. And I was like, this guy just really is like, but again, like in my head, it's like you're really confident, but in reality, you're the whole opposite.
Nah. I'm insecure. I'm super insecure. I mean, I'm very confident in myself and who I am, but how
but
I.
But you know yourself well enough.
Yeah, but I'm very insecure in social situations because I'm like, I don't want to piss people off. I don't want to be in people's space. If people don't like me, I don't want to take up their space. Like, I just worry. I guess I worry too much. I have this anxiety about me where I'm like, I don't want to take up space if people don't like me, so I'm just gonna kind of stay out of the way. It's kind of how I feel.
Damn, that's crazy.
That's how I feel.
Yeah,
straight up.
No, I mean, I get what you. I feel the same way to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But I think you just feel like way more. Like what we talked about earlier. Like, I think, like, I'm not gonna go out, like, to a show or see friends if I'm not like feeling okay, because I'm just like, I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, if you're gonna see me, it's like I have to be the best version of myself. Yeah. You know what I mean, I gotta feel okay. I know I'm gonna smile. And then there's been times like when I saw Gag at that rainy show Midnight Hour, like I was feeling like shit. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go see Gag, do the interview, mosh. I'm like, get the hell out of there. You know what I mean? Just cause like, yeah. but I know it comes from the place of like, I need to be the best person for the people I care about.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
And I care about the music community so much.
Yeah.
Like it gave everything to me, so I want to give everything back. So I want to like, it's so funny doing this my whole life, but still feeling like insecure on stage, like about it. That's just how I feel.
I mean, you're like in the biggest band, which is Gag. And then you're like in a straight edge band, and you've been in one of the biggest bands, in my opinion, which is Angel Dust. Like even if you just play for them, you were essentially like a part of it,
traveling with them.
And yeah, like being like, you're in a straight edge band. Yeah. Like the fact that you're in Automat now and Gag is like really weird to me.
Yeah.
Sometimes
a lot of people don't understand it.
I mean, but
I was always the weird guy in Gag in that respect, the most quote normal guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was looking through your profile to like see more about you, and I was like, oh, like you know, like the dude from Sex Pill. I'm like, super punk dudes.
Love
like,
them.
They low key hate hardcore. I think.
Yeah.
They low key hate the two step like. I'm like, no, it's crazy that you're like an Automat now and like a really hardcore dude, but like Nolus.
And I'm tight
like,
with them.
No, that them. World. Yeah,
because
yeah.
they're sick. Because
yeah, yeah.
they're fucking sick and their band's rit.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Trejo.
Yeah, shout out.
All right, 21, you go to college. What happens after?
After college, I just learn a lot. I learn a lot about the way we use language and the way we speak with each other and how it causes problems. And I kind of bleed more into, I move like away from my rigid political ideologies and more into my understanding people and where they come from kind of vibe. You know, you grow up and you think you know everything.
Yeah.
So I got, my world got a little bigger. I started traveling a ton, started touring a shitload. That's all I did, really.
You toured while you were in school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
How did that work? Like, do you have to go to school physically?
Yeah, I had to go to school physically. No such thing as like remote or any of that
shit. I mean,
I remember when Facebook came around. When Facebook came around, it was like, whoa.
You're that older.
Yeah, I was like, this is changing the way people do school. Like, I remember people in, I never had social media. I was super late to social media. Still to this day, the only social media I have is Instagram.
That's
and it. I'm really bad about keeping up on it. But I do get lost in the ether of it sometimes, just like watching shit. But I remember all my classmates had like a Facebook group that they'd like discuss shit. And I remember we were doing stuff on Hume, who was like a rigid empiricist. So I thought he was really cool because he was like a denier of like everything, just didn't believe anything except what could be known to the senses, basically. And like I was like, he's so interesting. Like, I want to talk about him more. And people would come to discussion and talk about the shit. And I'd be like, what? What'd you talk about that? And it was because they had this like Facebook group. And I was like, I want that. What the hell? But I still never got social media until my buddy Seth, shout out Seth Dog, gave me an iPhone 4 and set me up with like an Instagram and shit. And like showed me how to do it. And a bunch of people didn't believe it. They thought it was a fake account. They were like, no, Jeff has Instagram? No way. Like, this isn't real. But it was real.
I saw an iPhone 4 once.
You saw what?
I saw an iPhone 4 once. Like, I just like the phone, cause like,
oh yeah,
cause okay. My era was like iPhone 6 past that.
Okay.
So like I saw it once and I just started thinking, I was like, oh, this is like prehistoric shit.
Yeah.
Like, I saw an iPhone 3 once and I was like, what the fuck is this, like so fat.
I was late to the game. Late to the game.
But so you're going on tour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're going on tour, you're going to school, you're doing the best of both worlds. You know what I mean? You're living your life, you're learning the real world, and you're learning the intellectual world.
Yeah.
How's your relationship with your parents at the time? Or like, how are you talking to your mom at this point?
Better and better. Yeah, better and better. After the whole school thing, it put my whole family relationships in a different light where I was like, oh, this is cool. This is like beneficial. They have they're like looking out for me. At least my adopted dad was. And then there was a period of time too where I didn't have a place to live, so I moved into my mom's garage. And she was super sick about, like, one of my buddies who had a really abusive home, he came and lived with us for a while in the garage, too. My buddy Robert, who's, like, one of my best friends, he came.
And what happened then? You couldn't even live, like, you couldn't find a place to live? Like, you were just, like, broke or just, like, life piling?
Yeah, just couldn't get a house or anything. And she lived out in the middle of nowhere. I had to ride my bike to my job at the mall, and it was, like, fucking 16 miles. I think I was like 23, maybe.
23, and like you're like going on tour, and then like riding your bike to the mall, like, and you're going to school.
Yeah, I was doing a lot. I've always done a lot, like as much as I can possibly do. But because my mom always called me a shark, because if I stop swimming, I die. So that's always how I felt growing up. Like I have to be moving, I have to be doing stuff, otherwise I lose motivation. I just don't feel.
You get like depressed.
Good. Yeah, I get like depressed. I get super depressed.
Has there ever been a point in your life where, like, I don't know, maybe you're sick or, like, you broke an arm, broke a leg, or any other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I broke my hand. I had, like, 4 plates in my hand, 32 screws, and I couldn't. I was playing. I played shows with one. I cut one of my fingers out of my cast, and I was, like, fretting with one finger, like, playing bass. I remember I duct taped. I had this band called Trainyard when I was a kid, that we were way too soon for our time because we were, like, Crown of Thorns worship with, like, the goofy aspects of, like, even like E-Town Concrete shit, like just goofy ass shit. So we were never popular, of course, because no one understood what the fuck we were doing. And we played like a show where I duct taped my drumstick to my cast, and I was like smacking the snare drum with like basically my cast, and it sounded horrible, but I played the show. More recently though, I herniated 2 discs in my low back, my L5S1, so my hip joint, my lowest vertebrae, and then my L4-L5, and I couldn't walk for like 3 weeks. I was in debilitating nerve pain for like 1 year and 6 months. Everything felt shitty. I just couldn't feel happy. Like, I don't know if you've ever experienced nerve pain, but like when you have nerve pain every day, you just want to die because your central nervous system is just overloaded all the time. You're overstimulated, you hurt, you just don't want to be alive. And like, I got the most depressed. I've been through a lot in my life. Never felt suicidal, never. That's the only time I ever felt suicidal. And I remember telling my doctor, him being like, okay, we're gonna take you off like that. He had me on some like methyl steroid that like, that's one of the big like symptoms. And I got off that and I felt a lot better, but still hella depressed. It's like being injured, not being able to do the things that I love doing is like the hardest thing in the world. It's horrible. Not being able to play music, not being able to be physical, to exercise, to do combat sports, to skate, to surf, to move, to hang out with my friends, to cook myself food. Couldn't even stand. I did a rubber gig tour in a wheelchair and where I'd sit down, play like 2 songs, be in too much pain, and I'd have to sit down again, stand up, like play like 2 songs and then sit down, kind of wait for the nerve pain to go away. It's fucked up. It's horrible, dude.
I mean, it's still as crazy that you did it.
Yeah, I did.
I was like, I would have been.
The day after I hurt myself, Gag was slated to play Turnstile's record release, the Glow On record release in Baltimore. And so the day after, my glute was swollen to the size of like a football.
Is it the one that's like on Hand Physics, right? It's like a...
Yeah.
It's like a well-known video. It's on YouTube, right?
I have no idea. I don't do internet stuff like that, like watch videos like that. But it was like South... I think it was Soundstage in Baltimore. What the fuck is the name? Why am I getting it confused with some... Is it Baltimore Soundstage, the big one by the water?
I think so. I think that's on YouTube,
but
yeah.
But dude, I couldn't sit and I couldn't stand. It was the day after I had. I remember I felt it that day in the weight room, felt a crack, and then my glute went numb, my foot went numb. I couldn't use my foot. My leg got all numb. I just had this radiating pain down my leg, and then I was like, oh, I'm probably good, like stupidly. And then I went to jiu-jitsu that night. I got stacked, and I felt another pop. And then I was like, something's really wrong. I couldn't stand up. It took me like, I lived like 3 blocks from my jiu-jitsu gym, and it took me like 45 minutes to walk home because I'd walk like 20 feet and have to just lay, I'd just lay down on the curb, just like holding myself, just like, fuck, something's really wrong. And then I got home, scheduled an MRI, and that was that. The next day, got on a plane to play that Turnstile record release. My glute was the size of a softball. I was all fucked up. I was like in so much pain that I was like delirious. So I was just talking to everybody like normal and just kind of laying down in the back room. I was like, yeah, I just kind of hurt pretty bad. I think I hurt my back. Come to find, I herniated 2 discs.
Holy.
Dude, it was horrible.
How was playing the set?
Horrible. It hurt so bad. Like it hurt so bad. And flying was horrible. It hurt so bad. And I could barely sleep that night because I was in so much pain. But it was really hard. I couldn't concentrate. Fortunately, drumming's like second nature for me, so I can just kind of turn my brain off. So the whole time I was playing that set, I couldn't even enjoy it. I just remember like just trying to ignore pain.
Like a judge would say.
Yeah, just moving through.
Damn, here I am fucking struggling to try to get a band together, and you're out here like playing shows like and with a fucking fuck
bad back.
Yeah, it was like just oh my god.
If anyone is struggling with nerve pain, hit me up. It kind of changed my life, and now I'm on a path where I'm like training. I got like a bunch of clients and like combat sports athletes, weight training people that I train. And
that's your job, or like you just do it?
I do it remotely. Yeah. And I have a few, I have clients that have back injuries, and I've gotten them out of pain. And I've gotten myself out of pain. I load my squats again. I'm not really pulling heavy deads because the risk to reward is pretty low, but I know how to train around injury if people need help. Quick plug, if people need help, hit me up.
That's crazy.
I've helped a bunch of friends already just who've heard about what happened to me, and they're like, hey, man, what do I do? And I'll just help them through it.
That's crazy. That's what the fuck. It's just like, what the?
It's fucked up.
Yeah. So, okay, now back on the, from 25 to 30.
Okay.
How's your life?
Pretty sick. Probably some of my best years. Playing in bands that were getting recognition, getting tons of opportunities, going to like Europe, Asia, Latin America, Mexico.
Have you been to like the whole world, basically?
Pretty much, yeah.
Is there any place you haven't been to?
Haven't played any shows in Africa. I've tried. I know you can book in like Morocco. You can do like Egypt, South Africa. I'd really love to get deep into Africa.
So Africa's the only place.
Has contacts.
Yeah.
You got me. I'm trying to play Africa.
But the little band, Adam and
Out? Yeah, probably. Because we're the band that everybody's just down to do whatever. So I really don't have a group of friends that's just down to just go. So like Odd Man Out's kind of that group. So we do all the really fun tours, like shit like that.
Yeah. It's funny because like Odd Man Out's like played Mexico. Like that's just like
dude, we played Mexico 3 times. We've done 3 Mexican tours. With Odd Man Out's first tour was Mexico.
Yeah, like that's
before we played the United States.
Yeah, that's like weird. That's like yeah. Crazy. It's like yeah. Like I think people in Mexico was like, oh, we've seen Odd Man Out a lot more than I have seen here in LA.
Yeah.
And then like
that's crazy. Funny.
Yeah. So 25-30, you just keep playing shows.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Your relationship with your mom and your adopted father, like kind of mm-hmm.
My life mellows out. I stop. I don't do any like illegal activity or anything. I just kind of like I'm mellow. I'm yeah. Like I'm getting in my groove. I'm like doing music stuff pretty much full time.
So you reach your 30s. Does anything like kind of like switch off in your brain where I'm like, damn, I've been through all this. Like I'm not like you're officially like once you're I feel in my opinion once you're 30 you're not old, you're just like
you're like hardcore retired.
No. I don't think people in 30 are old. So even though a lot of people like act like they're old, but it's just like in my head I'm like oh like you this is like the age where like you either like compiled a lot of the things you still will learn, but like a lot of the things you've known,
mm-hmm.
and like you're kind of more of a what like a more in my opinion should be a more of a well shaped person. You know what I mean? You're more of a like I'm an adult.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like coming to your own.
Yeah. There you go. That's the way. Yeah. Did you feel like that when you were 30, or were you still like?
Yo, I felt like that when I was like 23, straight up. I was like, I know who I am, and I think like, I think because I grew up really fast.
Yeah.
I grew up really fast, both socially and intellectually, like learned wise as well. Like, I mean, I was the kid that was like in high school, man, when you're supposed to be just fucking around. I was like, hey, man, did you hear about Fred Hampton? You know, like I was like a guy that was like very politically minded as like a little kid. Like, why am I even researching those things? Why do I even care about those things? But it was because like I just didn't like the world I lived in. So I was like, what are alternatives? You know what I mean? What are alternatives to just like working a job, not really like pushing myself or testing myself or like not throwing my ideas against the wall and seeing what sticks, like seeing what's like, okay, this makes sense in reality. This is either just ideology or this is reality. And how malleable is reality? How much can I play with it? What can I get out of this life I was born into? And I noticed that not many people I met, normal people, felt that same way. People like to play it safe. And I had no intentions of playing it safe. And I think I made the right choice. Because by the time I was 17 years old, I felt like if I died any day, I'd feel accomplished. Because I felt like I had done so much. And like even now, everything's just icing on the cake, man. Probably 25 on, icing on the cake. Like anything that happens now, I'm just happy with. I just feel happy in life, honestly.
Just bonuses.
I feel good. Yeah. I feel like I did a lot. I still would like to continue doing stuff. But if one day, like COVID or something like that happened, they're like, you can't do, this doesn't exist anymore. No more music. I'd be like, man, that sucks. Still happy.
Yeah.
Like, life still goes on. I have other things. I feel, you know, I feel good. Yeah. Feel good.
Damn. I mean, let's go back to what you said. The average person just plays it safe. Because mm-hmm. I think when the thing that most intrigued me to interview was when Griffin was like, it's like, yeah, our vocals are not. I don't know how the fuck it came up, but we're like eating. He's like, our vocals are not a man out, and I didn't even know he was not a man out. I was like, he's like, oh, he like goes down to L.A. or like Glendale, like. To like when it's like cold in Seattle,
yeah.
To like, and you like sleep in a van just to like, it could be warm. I was like, that's like that sounds like something I want to do, but I feel like I wouldn't have the balls to be like, yeah. Like, do you drive or like, you just fly?
I fly.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, I it sounds cool, right? But in my head, I was like, you're driving. Like, you're like, it's cold. I'm gonna get myself in the car.
I used to do that. Yeah, I lived in a van for like fucking 4 years, man.
What the fuck? It's easy. Like, what? Like, when was this? Like,
I just bought a camper. I was touring a lot, dude. Couldn't really like paying rent was just stupid. It's just dumping your money into nothing. So like, got a camper van with like solar power,
propane
stove. This was pretty recent. This was like Angel Dust time. So like 20, fuck man, I don't know.
Like a couple years ago, let's just say. A
couple years ago, yeah, a handful of years ago. I only played in Angel Dust for a chunk of years. So yeah, I was just touring a lot. It didn't make sense. So bought a camper van, lived in that. And I could just kind of park it wherever. So I just drive places and just like do stuff. And then that kind of stuck with me. Once I realized touring, you can just kind of go places and chill. I was like, you can do that with life too. You can just kind of go places and like figure it out. Get some shitty job for a little bit and just kind of feel out what life would be like in different places too. So yeah, I did that a lot too. Moved around and like checked stuff out. But my friend Patrick, who lived in Olympia for a while, he has like a house in Eagle Rock. He's gracious enough to let me chill with them pretty much whenever. I just give him a heads up, like that's where I come down. I stay in Eagle Rock, and
you don't like the cold, just cuz or
yeah, I got injuries, man. I don't like being cold. So when it gets cold,
did you not like being cold prior to injuries, or just because of the injuries specifically?
I knew I was born in the wrong place. Like, I grew up in Washington. I love Washington. It's fucking beautiful. It's amazing. But when I go places like Thailand or like places in Asia where it's like hot, high humidity, and like I just feel good. I feel good all day. I don't have pain. I have really good energy levels. Like, I pay a lot of attention to like my recovery metrics and like my my quality of sleep, my heart rate variability, my own, like I have a good sense of like how my own hormones are like regulated in my body and like when I feel good and when I feel bad. And I can just tell I always feel better when it's warm. I just feel better. I just feel happier, dude. When it's cold, it's just like I feel depressed.
And doesn't it drive you insane, like knowing that much about yourself sometimes, or it's just like you're just chilling right now, like you're watching.
I can tell I'm pretty low energy today. Yeah, I can tell I'm pretty low energy today. But it's fine. It's all right. I got
it. Well, you're cool with it, I guess. Like, yeah, I guess cool that, yeah, another person would have been like, low energy, like, why? Like, and then, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
If someone was like, hey, man, you want to come train, or hey, you got to go, like, PR this lift today, I would be like, you know what? No, I'd just be like, all right, I'd get some caffeine and just be like, all right, let's go. Yeah. But I know that I wouldn't be recovered for that, and I wouldn't be performing my 100%.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's wild. So you're 30 now. And you're 35. Yeah, I was about old. Yeah.
Well, you're trying to seem young.
Yeah. You're young spirited. You know, you're living a young life still. Well, yeah. You're 35. Do you look back and how do you feel like looking back at your whole life and you're like, are you ever gonna have kids? I mean, you say you're gonna adopt a kid.
Dude, I would love to adopt a kid probably one of these days when things settle down. I could see the end of music like anytime, man.
Really?
Yeah, I could see it like right now, or I could see it years down the road. It just depends. Like, I have, man, I'm so willing to just take things as they come. It doesn't really matter. Like, I still get so much out of music and I love it so much, and I'll take any opportunity to tour. But if it had to end, that's okay. I could focus on my own training other people, and
How would it end? Like, because do you think you will ever make it in?
Or I think I'd just lose opportunities. Yeah, I think I'd probably just pass on too many opportunities. Or people just stop caring about the bands I play in, which is fine too, because you can't be on, like, you can't, not saying I'm on top because I'm not on top, but you can't be on top forever. Like, you can't have people care about the stuff that you do all the time. Like, if you want that life, then you have to be motivated to market yourself.
And even then,
I'm not interested in
that. And even then, like
I'm not interested in marketing myself, especially not for music. I feel like I have a lot of creative ideas and, like, things I could share with people, but I just want people to want to share those things with me. I don't want to make them like it or make them listen to it or make them want it. I just want to make it because it's coming out of me and I would like it if they appreciated it. But market, not for me. If I'm going to make money, it's going to be helping people physically with their weight training, combat training, things like that.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's wild.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different. They come from different places, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, for me, music has never been about money. I wasn't a kid and I was like, this is what I want to do. I wasn't like, I was a kid and I'm like, this is how I'm going to make money.
When going on tour, I forgot. I was like, wait, people make a living out of this? Like, I forgot.
I don't know. I don't.
So, yeah. No, like, it just, like, it crossed my mind. I was like, oh, this is fun. Like, but then, like, in the back of my head, like, I would remind myself, I was like, oh, there's people who, like, make money off of this. Like, they're, like, living. I was like, ugh. Like, it's just,
it's not a bad thing. That's awesome. But, like, it's not my primary driving, motivating factor.
I just can't imagine being like, I have to go on tour.
Yeah.
Or, like, it's, like, my kids, like, my kid, my, like, baby mom was, like, on tour. You know what I mean? It's just, like, you're, like, this is your way of, like, have to.
I could do it. I could do it as a drummer. I could do it as a paid drummer. You could do that. You could pay me to go on whatever tour to play drums.
Why drums?
Because love it so much.
You love drums
more? I'm so passionate about it. Yeah, because I love playing drums and I love trying to push myself to be a better and better drummer. All styles, any style. I could be paid to play drums in a band. Any band.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
But not guitar, no bass.
I love it. Not guitar, bass, no. Not for me. No.
Okay.
I appreciate it, but it's not for me. I'm not driven to excel in those instruments as I am with drums.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're just not. I don't see a guitar and I'm like, I need to play that.
Since you know a lot about yourself, what do you like about drums? What do you like?
They're so physical. That's the thing. I just like physical stuff. I like exerting myself, pushing myself hard, trying to like. I like everything from like very technical, laid back drumming, just like focusing and like sitting in the pocket, or I like physical drumming, like pushing myself, like single pedal grind. Favorite style of drumming, straight up. Like a single pedal grind band, like Repulsion or like something where like it's like very like, yeah, you're like you're behind the kit just fucking raging, like that shit is awesome. And then all the way down to like just being dialed, sitting in the pocket just with like focus, like really focusing on finesse and like really bringing a beat to life and like giving it life is also like, drums are so dynamic. It's the same with guitar. I'm just not as tuned in. I'm not as well versed in playing guitar as I am drums, and I don't really have like a drive to make myself that way, if that makes sense. Yeah.
If you die tomorrow and
fingers crossed,
not gonna win. If you die tomorrow, you come from a weird place, I guess that's the best way to put it.
Unique,
like,
yeah.
A very unique, weird, unique is the best way to put it. Come from this unique place, you were taken in the hands of a lot of people, but at the end of the day, you were your best teacher in a way.
Or, yeah.
Because sometimes, the way I look at it, like my favorite bands, like Trash Talk and Hoax, like I like educate myself based on what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're still providing what I want to know and what I like, and like, you know, like Ceremony, you know, that led me into like just poetry and like reading, you know what I mean?
Okay,
yeah,
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 like prose and everything.
But it's kind of myself too, like looking for those stuff. So I guess I'm my own teacher, but they provide the knowledge, you know what I mean? Like a book.
It's like a little direction. That's how it should be. It's like you interact with things that you're engaged by and then you learn a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, then that digs you into other stuff.
But you have to be the one that's motivated to follow that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, 100%.
But that being said, if you die tomorrow, what do you think you want then, like off the top of your head, people to remember you by yourself, by who you are as a person, by your music, by your by as an instrument player, by as a friend? What is the one thing you're like, this is who I was the most, or this is who, what I did the best.
I would hope to be a motivator for people to want to be the best person they could possibly be. Like, he pushed me to want to, like, pursue this, or, like, he pushed me to want to be better, to, like, be disciplined and focused and, like, try and get exactly what I want. And even if that's not discipline, even if that's, like, he, like, just getting to, like, know yourself and embrace the person you are, I'd like to be seen as a supportive person, someone that people could rely on to, like, come to if they have, like, issues, or if they, like, need help finding direction. I'd say that.
So beyond like past...
A motivator. We'll say motivator.
A friend.
Yeah, a friend.
A friend.
Yeah, 100% friendship.
A friend is always a... A friend is number one, I guess, is, like, companionship and motivation. That's, like, yeah, that's what a friend
100%
is.
100% friendship. I'm all about friendship. That's the realest relationship in life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you could be a good friend, I think you're... And you're just... You're a good person.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah. Anything else you want to say? Anything else you want to put out there? Think about it. I like to tell people, I interviewed Carlos from Running Out, and he was like, why are you asking me all these questions? I'm like, dude, when you die, I don't, like, there's going to be a gazillion interviews of you, like, okay, so how did this riff come about? Like, what did Impress write this record? I'm like, it's like, this is why I like sponsor from my own, like, from me, but I don't like to, like, you know, like, I don't know. I don't like to push it as much as, because it's not this interview format podcast or whatever is not for anybody to listen to.
Yeah.
But anything else you want to put out there? Any on this recording?
Yeah, I mean, I like what you're doing, because I like these kinds of questions as well. Like, I'm not interested in listening to someone really talk about things I already know about them.
Yeah. You know? Or that you can trace, like, it back cool. to their influences and shit.
Yeah. Shit. I guess just don't get too overwhelmed with what it feels like you need to do. Just kind of follow your passion, and follow, like, what drives you and makes you feel, like, alive and motivated, and then you won't ever hit those ruts. I mean, everything goes up and down, but you don't have to hit those ruts as often where you feel, like, overwhelmed and like you need to give up because you're focusing your energy on something that's going to get back to you. So just do what feels right.
you're mentally healthy, physically healthy.
Yeah. Those things, I feel like those things are very important, but also don't get too hung up on, like, that's just me. Like, people are very different. I'm not, like, myopic enough to believe that the way that I live life is the way everyone should live life.
Yeah.
Because people straight up biologically are different. Neurologically are different. Like, people are wired differently. This is just me. So if, like, the things that I say resonate with you, don't worry, you're not weird, you're not a freak, like, you're just similar to me. So, like, do that.
And if you're a freak, there's nothing wrong with being a freak.
Yeah. If you don't, and you're, like, a different way, you're cool too. Do that. Like, run with that. Do whatever you like and whatever motivates you, and just run it up as much as you can. That's it.
Well, with saying that you're physically, mentally healthy, you think you're gonna live for a long time? Like, I was like, what, like, because you're as healthy as a person can be.
If I ever do, like, adopt kids and have a family, I hope so. If not, I don't really care.
Interesting. That was a good answer. All right, let's do this for that and wrap it up. Because I noticed you're the only person that has, like, a lot of band tattoos, which is cool.
Yeah.
Because
I have is music
tattoos. I feel self-conscious of having band tattoos.
Oh, for real?
Because I'm like, because at first I was like,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Like, I have a Robert Gaye one.
Yeah.
And then I have, like, the Running Out one.
Sick.
And I have a Nomads. I have an Alpha and Omega.
Dope.
I have a Trash Talk. I have an X.
Yeah, you got a bunch.
But yeah, so, cause I was like, am I having too much? Like, do I need normal tattoos? But what are some of your band tattoos that you have?
Actually, Ben from Nuts magazine in New York, he did a complete rundown
of all your band tattoos.
All my band tattoos, yeah. And there's like over 100 different bands on my body.
What's the rarest one? Like, what's rarest? Like the rarest band? Like, I was like, oh, that's weird. Someone has that tatted.
Probably like some of the bands that I did demos and never fucking did anything. Like, there's a Dehumanized one right here. In Debt. That's another one that did nothing.
What's that?
This one's Sunset Riders.
Sunset Riders.
Griffin's band that he used to sing for. Poison Idea, Bored Youth, a bunch of young kids like skate punks, HPP, a punk band from Olympia.
That's Deep Wound.
Deep Wound, Johnny Thunders, Clip Boys, FUs, Sham 69, Joan Jett, Articles of Faith,
Warskins. Before I met you, I saw you had a Sham 69 tattoo. That's weird.
Dicks,
I don't know anyone.
I got two Sham 69 tattoos. Buzzcocks, fuck man, Katy Perry.
Katy Perry.
Trainyard, Circle Jerk, Stiff Little Fingers, Unity, Hated Youth.
That's crazy.
Fuck man, I don't know. Motorhead, I got two Motorhead. Bob Dylan. Doggy Style, that's some California shit. Nausea.
Do you have any normal tattoos?
Not really.
That's
not really. Sam, my buddy that passed away. My buddy Sam. My buddy Joey. My buddy Robert. I have friends. So I have my friends tattooed on me.
And music.
This whole leg. I'm wearing pants, but this whole leg is all friends. I have my friends sign my leg.
Really?
Like individually? Yeah, like I give them the machine. I go, all right, tattoo like whatever you want.
That's wild, man.
Yeah. Justice has the same thing on it, but on his butt.
On his butt?
Yeah, we both tattooed each other, the names and everything.
That's
He's the only other person I've met that does that as well. Like, has friends sign his body.
Now I'm like, if I'm ever like, I want to get a band tattoo, I'm probably going to do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel that self-conscious now that I see you have so many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I got tons, dude. It's like all I got. Burn. Milk Music. But Conflict. I got
you
two
like
Conflict.
You love Conflict.
Yeah, I love Conflict. Crass. Shit, man. I don't know. I got a bunch. SSD, of course. AC/DC. Shit, I don't know. I'd have to see him. I got a Fear one.
Trying what
to
is that one right
LA
here?
LA, I got. Where? GBH?
It's like an X, not like a heart or...
Oh, that's Strife. Strife lyrics.
Oh, sorry.
Strife, and then it's like an X with a heart. It's one of the first tattoos I ever got when I was 15 years old.
Sick. All right, we're going to do this or that and wrap it up. All right, so this or that is like I ask you Coke or Pepsi, and you're just say Coke, and then like okay. We go on to the next one.
Right.
You ready?
Yes.
Slayer or Metallica?
Fuck, are you serious? Today's Slayer.
Today's Slayer. Today's a Slayer day.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
That's really difficult for me. I love both bands.
Hatebreed or Death Threat?
Death Threat.
100 Demons or Cold as Life?
100 Demons.
Walmart or Target?
That's tough. For specific reasons, I'm going to say Walmart.
Walmart. VHS or vinyl?
Vinyl.
Skateboarding or combat fighting?
Combat sports nowadays.
Spaz or Plutocracy?
Spaz because of the Kung Fu movie references. Not particularly the music.
You don't like Spaz and musically?
They're alright.
Damn.
There was a period of time where I liked them.
I don't hear a lot of older people like power violence. Really? Or like that type of power violence.
I mean, I love Spaz. I like hard power, like crossed out.
Yeah, like that. Like
Infest.
Like, a lot of people don't like Spaz or like goofy, like.
Yeah, I don't like the silly stuff. I'm not like a silly hardcore guy.
No comedy hardcore.
Nah.
Alright. Trapped Under Ice or Angel Dust?
Dude, that's really hard too, but I'm gonna say TY.
Crewnecks or hoodies?
Hoodies.
Buried Alive? Buried Alive or 100 Demons?
God damn it, man. Terror Lowest of the Low.
Terror Lowest of the Low? Isn't that crazy? I didn't even know that was an important record. Like, no,
that's my favorite hardcore record of all time. Like, favorite contemporary hardcore record. That's the record that made me love contemporary hardcore.
I love hardcore. And I feel like I know a lot of music. And, like, not just hardcore. But I think my favorite hardcore song of all time is Keepers of the Faith.
Okay, sick. I mean, that's a great record, too. Terror wrote a bunch of amazing records. Lowest of the Low is just my favorite.
Maybe Terror's the only hardcore band that's written multiple good records.
It's the one band I don't have a tattoo from that I still need one from, is Terror.
If I ever go to Seattle, let's get Keepers of the Faith.
Alright, let's get it.
That is it.
I'm down.
Alright, I think that's it.
Alright.
That's it. Alright, thank you everybody for listening.
Thank you, bro.
Anything else you want to say?
Thanks, team.
Man.
I'll see you guys. If you see me at a show and I look like I'm like frustrated or don't want to talk or something, it's not true. I'd love to say hello.
Hey,
come say hello.
Alright, Jeff.